Okay. Yeah, I didn't like that intro at all, by the way. Do it again.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us on another episode of Face to Face Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I don't even know how this show is going to go because my co-host is yet again giving me a hard time, but that's not important. We're going to start the show, introduce our guest, and get the conversation going. The first person I want to introduce is someone I met on a previous roundtable talk show, Miss Jacqueline Jenkins, and we started talking about her industry, what she does, and she started talking about some of the history, and I said, you know what, you have to join us on Face to Face. Good morning, Jacqueline, how are you?
Good morning, thank you for having me.
You are so welcome, you are so welcome. Tell us just a little bit about what you do and why you're so passionate about it.
Yeah, so I am the CEO of Cygnus CBD, which is an organic cannabis company in North Carolina. Right now, we specifically only grow hemp. I'm here today because I brought up the issue that prohibition of cannabis is one of the most racist pieces of legislation that was ever entered into American politics. And if we really want to address the race issue in America, then we need to start with cannabis.
Yes, we're going to talk about that on today's show, but I'm introducing the guest. Please go ahead and share the show because I'm sure the conversation today, your friends do not want to miss. I want to introduce our next guest, Miss Ava Benari. She's joining us here today. Good morning, Ava. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm excited to learn all about you. Tell us briefly a little bit about who you are and what you do.
I'm a holistic practitioner, and I take all of the guesswork out of supplementation that I call supplement roulette and add science in so that you heal naturally.
Why do you want to be on a show like Face to Face Talk Show where we ask the hard questions and have the uncomfortable conversations? That seems so peaceful, so wellness, so holistic.
Yeah, it sure does. But I have to say, there's an awful lot of resistance around following that. Most people want to take the prescription drug or have the pill, a happy pill, make me happy, Eva, fix me. And the uncomfortable conversation comes into this is how it really has to work.
Okay, well, I'm excited. I want to learn the truth, how it really works. I want to introduce my next guest, Miss Amaya Victoria. I love her. She's been a dear friend for some time. She's been on quite a few roundtable talk shows. She has channeled. She's a channel, a medium, so many times for me. She's helped me out in my personal life. Please welcome Miss Amaya Victoria. Good morning, Amaya. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me on your show.
You are so welcome. Why did you decide to join Face to Face Talk Show?
Because there's two reasons. I may have a different perspective because I've been scared so much, and maybe a fuller perspective of what's going on to help these times come to peacefulness. And
Amaya, I didn't mean to cut you off. I apologize, but all I heard was barking, so I missed number one.
Would okay.
You mind? Number Jacqueline, one. Jacqueline's getting her dog some cannabis.
Stop.
Okay. I will continue. So, spirit tends to, or the hierarchy tends to have a different perspective many times on what's happening. You know, we can ask the hard questions, but the hardest thing is to stay out of our egos when we're asking these questions and come from our insides. The other part of this is I learned through my life to become very courageous. So I'm not afraid to look at the hard things and see. I think the hard questions is what's going to cause change.
Absolutely. And that's what we do here on Face to Face Talk Show, where I believe that change starts with a conversation. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And we were talking backstage about her journey. And part of what she had to say is this is her stepping out, sharing her story and why she's so passionate about it. I want to welcome Miss Jamie Wright. Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing awesome. Thank you for having me, Sharifa. This is an absolute honor and pleasure.
You are so welcome. Talk to us about what you're passionate about.
I am absolutely passionate about raising awareness to domestic violence. I am a domestic violence survivor. I actually had to seek a shelter at a local women's center here in the Houston area in the face of COVID in April of this year, of April 23rd, 2020. So I am absolutely passionate about sharing myself in such a way that, like Ms. Amaya just said, ego aside, right? But I'm passionate about sharing myself in such a way that hopefully I will encourage, empower, and inspire another victim or survivor to walk in their truth and to turn their shame into self-love and to be very intentional about pushing and understanding that they can turn their pain into purpose.
Oh, so wow.
Thank you. I'm absolutely honored to be here.
You are so welcome. I'm honored to have you. And April was not that long ago. I mean, to look at you right now, October 7th, you're the epitome of professionalism. You're someone that I would look at and go, that never could have happened to her. She never would have been in that situation. She never would have allowed it. So we're going to talk a little bit more about your journey and what you're passionate about. I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest. And my next guest, you've seen plenty of times on Face-to-Face Talk Show. You've seen her plenty of times on the Round Table Talk Show. You've seen her plenty of times on Ask Sharifa Videocast. I went out to Seattle to support her and what she's doing to make this world a better place. Amaya, definitely you'll love her because she's someone who not only deals with politics and what's going on in the world, but she brings it from a spiritual aspect as well. So this time, instead of just arguing with Paul, she brought a friend along to argue with Paul as well. I want to welcome Ms. E. Mandisa Segura. Good morning, E. How are you?
I'm doing great. You didn't hear me and Paul talking in the green room. Him and I are getting ready to go on tour. It's the Ebony and Ivory tour. Man, you better catch up with the program, Sharifa.
I didn't know y'all had agreed on a tour. I can't even. Am I invited or I got to buy a ticket to the tour?
Got to buy a ticket.
Everyone's got no free rides.
No free rides, man.
Y'all hippies, I saw that. No one rides for free. So E, you brought a friend today.
Yes, I did. He's a constitutional, legal kind of guy. You know, I'm an artist activist, and what I appreciate about what everyone has shared is that legislation plays an important role in everything that we're talking about. So I'm excited about the conversation.
Introduce your friend.
Oh, and the friend that I brought with me, this is Sir Salim. He has been knighted. He got knighted last week. Sir Salim, and like I said, he's a legal guy, constitutional specialist, and he also is a hip hop guy, very talented artist.
Good morning, Salim. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I very much appreciate this.
I had to find you in your screen. I was like, okay, there.
He's on the holodeck for real.
Yes. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. Why were you interested in joining the discussion today?
Well, my background is a chef. So, you know, as a chef, we care. We care a lot about people. And, you know, just to hear conversations, because that's something that's used at the dinner table. You hear a lot of different conversations, a lot of different points of view. And I think this is the beginning of that healing process to America, where people talk about spirituality. The combining thing with that is food. And that's what I've been for majority of my life. And I've always expressed it through music. And now I want to take it to the legal field and show people how we can heal them through there. So, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. And that's what brought me towards your platform.
That was so wonderful. And it just, when you were speaking, I had a flashback, deja vu. I had a memory. And I think Paul and I shared that same memory. Do you remember the very first Face-to-Face Talk Show? We were talking about race. And then the gentleman just says, but everybody loves pizza. You know, like, okay, you know, coming out. You remember that, Paul?
I do. We talked about if food came in. Like, okay, agree. Food brings us, food and music, two things that bring everyone together. Everywhere around the world.
That's right.
Those are two things that bring the world together.
And you shared the story.
Sir Salim, you got two of them in there.
Yes, but you shared the story about your father, Paul.
I did.
Breaking the table, sitting down with the people. Never mind.
Oh, yes, breaking bread. I shared the story of how my father flew on multiple planes and planes, trains, and automobiles to go to the jungles in Africa to a gold mine to do a deal that the meeting was probably 15 minutes long, but he told me that it was, I said, why couldn't you just do it on the phone call? And he said, there's, you can't replace looking in someone's eyes, breaking bread, shaking hands. and doing business that way. So it was a lesson that I learned early on that he would take, you know, 3-4 days of travel to sit with someone and break bread and talk and do business that way. So it resonated with me.
I can't believe you forgot that story, Paul. I'm so disappointed. Ethan and Deesa, you were here last week and we were getting ready to end the show, final minutes. And you were like, we got to discuss Black people or Black Republicans. And I'm like, well, come back. And here you are. What is it you wanted to say?
Well, you know, being a Black Republican is asking, you know, asking what is a Black Republican is like asking what is a Black cowboy, what is a Black rock star. We're not Mr. Snuffleupagus, we do exist. And we're not all Uncle Toms and we're not all sellouts. You know, I've been in politics for a quarter century, nearly half of my life. I'm a political strategist. And I believe that all politics is local. I can't speak for the circus that is the national politics. I can only speak to local politics is where it's really all at. And from my perspective, you know, I'm a revolutionary, first and foremost. I was trained by the original Black Panther Party, broke bread with them, sang music with Elaine Brown, who was, she was put in charge of the Black Panther Party when Huey P. Newton was exiled to Cuba. He put a sister in charge, right? She's one of my mentors. And that's what she told us. She said, you got to feed the people. You got to feed the people. And I didn't know that the Black Panther Party had albums. They literally had albums, music. You know, they had a newsletter and they fed the people. And that's kind of, you know, what you have to do. So before I even get into discussing being Republican, I want to talk about politics to the lowest common denominator. And it comes from, it's interesting that it's spiritually, like everyone here is supposed to be here. I am a child of a very, very violent home, extremely violent home. I had an extremely traumatic childhood. I had three mothers, a birth mother, adoptive mother, and a stepmother, and a father that played me like a pawn. So early on, at a young age, I decided wherever there are decisions being made for me, I want to be there. Well, guess who makes decisions for me? Because when the bills come to, whether it's local politics, whether it's state or national, when the bill goes to the legislature, it's both parties. So the Republicans make decisions for me. And I feel that we have an overrepresentation of ourselves over there in the Democratic Party. Had I not joined the local Washington State Republican Party, I wouldn't have been able, you were a part of the show that we did months ago, calling them to task for their racist platform. See, we're not there to hold them accountable. We're just on the internet complaining about it. But we're not there in their face breaking bread with them because they're just people like us. And in fact, I found locally that a lot of Democrats and Green Party people have come over to the Republican Party. So I want us to get out of that mindset of labels and bring it down to the energy and the intention of doing that work.
Yes, I definitely agree. Jacqueline, I would love your thoughts and your, if any, because I know you're passionate about it. I'll get to you, Amaya. Jacqueline.
Yeah, you know, I actually changed my registration from the Republican Party to an independent 3 years ago, and merely because I could not stand by and watch what was going on. You know, so it's really nice to hear someone like yourself talk about your reasonings for being in the Republican Party. And, you know, in that short time, you really made me think about my true reasoning behind, you know, being registered. I think that it's important to use our voices where possible. I feel like I've gotten so far away from politics just because, you know, politics.
Toxic.
Only because I switched my career from literally working for a political fund to going into software sales and now owning a cannabis business. Regardless, you know, politics are everywhere.
The reason I asked you initially to comment, because I know you're passionate about a lot of what you're dealing with really is legislation. you know, when you're dealing with the marijuana laws and the legality of cannabis, and you, your focus is on how many of those laws that were created are racist. So in right. order, we have, that's a right that we want to, that's a wrong that we want to right. So I'll let you think about that a little bit, Jacqueline.
Totally.
Elijah, you had something you wanted to say?
Yes, I wanted to piggyback off of, how do you say your first name? I'm so sorry.
E. Mandisa. Everybody just calls me E.
Oh, thank you. That's very much better for me. Okay. So what E was saying, you know, I was taught, and this is not to take the self-responsibility away from anyone, including the governments, but I was taught that the no enemy way. We're all in this together. You know, it's not them and us. It's all of us. What's going on out there has been coming for many, many years. What's going on inside of me has been coming for many, many years. What I see on Facebook has been coming for many, many years. My people, the new age people, I want to roll my eyes sometimes at that, forgive me. They really want to deny the darkness, you know, pray it away. Think only good thoughts, et cetera, you know. Be careful what you think. What you put out there is what you get back. Well, there may be some of that in that, but there's been a festering here on every level, politically, socially, collectively, individually, and the earth. We've had a high running fever for years and years and years, and now the fever's gotta break. It's gotta break. It breaks my heart, the violence, the way things are going, but, it's not all about us. We're not the center of the universe. We've got to look at the earth. We've got to look at how we're handling things. How right, doing this correctly, we can save the planet and save our lives. Really yeah. very important. And then we bring it micro. We could bring it from the macro, the micro, because I'm Aquarius. I tend to do more macro
up here. I'm Aquarius too.
Yeah, woo!
I knew I felt your energy.
So the micro thing then is, how do I live my life?
Yes.
How am I walking in this world? And then the local governments. They have a lot of power. They do.
Yes.
Like, I'm ready to strangle Gavin. I'm ready to, like,
No strangling. We can't have the channel try to strangle people.
Then I won't even go to prison. Spirit will take me and yank me away. So I, you know, but because we really need to make the government ours again.
Celine, when you hear Amaya say make the government ours again, what are your thoughts?
Well, all right. So if we're just being real.
Yeah, this is what we do here on Face to Face Talk Show.
First thing would be, okay, well, whose government is real? Huh? Whose government? Because if we look at government, let's look at the Constitution, for example. They started this process in 1786. In 1786, we were already 144 years deep in Virginia in indentured servitude. Okay, so whose government is really doing it? When it's about the people, there was a lot of people that were quiet, and while this slave trade was still going on. So whose government is real? What government needs to be brought back? I really feel that the system that was set place was set perfectly, and it has ended up to like today, where we're looking at the system like, man, this is running too good. This is too big of a system. The only way that we can break down anything is to start breaking down functions of it. And that's really it. Because when we talk about, and I'm not saying anything hopefully disrespectful to anyone, I am a son of the Most High. I'm part of the earth, I'm part of the Creator. So my only thing is to give is the truth. If I can't tell it to a 5 or 6 year old, then I feel that some way I'm part of that problem. So how would I explain government to a kid today? We started out, we created this document, all people are created equal, but women can't vote. Then when women do get the right to vote, Blacks have to wait another 50, 60 years in order to enact the right that they were given 100 years ago. What are we gonna tell them? I think that the system right now with Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green, it is still part of that same body. Me as a constitutionalist, I look at things at a non-biased system. I understand what the lifestyles that they had but that doesn't matter to me. It's what is on paper. No other country in the world did what we did on paper. It's time to look at it and say, I need to be responsible for this. Even if my people did it and I wasn't the one that did it, I'm still suffering some of the benefits from it. I'm still acknowledging the benefits from it. So when people say, let's do this again, or let's make the government this, or let's make the government that, or we need to take control of it, it was never ours. Elitists did this. So if we want to really do something for the people, we have to get on local levels. We have to get on state levels, because the first thing that are affected are the people that we're supposed to protect. The children, the elderly, the disabled, and the ones that are incapable for making decisions themselves. And I think a lot of times people get on a national argument, they get very emotional, and then they feel that everything is done. We need to really get back into the grassroots, because when you take a person like me that spent $90,000 to go to Le Cordon Bleu, and I'm walking around and I'm seeing advertisements of companies that's making billions of dollars a year, yet I go to Pike's Mark and there's people digging out the trash can. It shouldn't work like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree. You said a lot. It was definitely insightful, opened up my mind on a lot of areas. One of the things that you mentioned is the people we have to protect. Jamie, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the conversation so far, because I know you're passionate about protecting people who may be suffering from domestic violence. Right. What would you like to see changed?
The Violence Against Women Act. So it's been put on hold. Luckily, here in the Houston area, Mayor Sylvester Turner is very passionate about ending domestic violence and sexual assault crimes. So as a result of his passion in him reallocating dollars to the domestic violence to mitigate it in the face of COVID, I benefited, right? But if the Violence Against Women Act was enacted again, I don't feel like it would be so hard. I just was blessed and lucky that where I live in the Houston area that I benefited, but there's many places where women and children might be suffering as a result of the big legislation being put on hold for the dollars that we need. Yeah.
Yes. What I would like to see is some of the statute of limitations removed from some of these sexual crimes. That's what I would like to see. Because so often it can be used as a loophole to allow people to go free because the person hasn't reported it in such a long time. But I do understand the opposite, where it's maybe some of the evidence and witnesses are long gone. So it's not something that they could actually look into at this time. But it's just a conversation on how we make this world a better place. What can we do? Who do we need to protect? Do we need to pick a side? Do we need to decide we're Democrat? Do we need to decide we're Republican? Do we want to be independent? I think that's a conversation that so many people are having right now, which brings us back to the question of who am I? And what do I believe? Ava, I would love to hear from you.
Perfect question. Because I'm sitting here thinking, the work that I do requires me to live in a little bit of a gray. I'm not a licensed physician. And what the work that I offer is often laughed at, it's scoffed at by those who are licensed. And it gives me some leeway. So what I'm wondering is, if we're in such a place where possibly our government, as it were, a big general word there, is a bit broken. Why not create something for yourself locally that is much more reflective of your own values, that is a grassroots movement that moves things forward? And that sounds kind of rebellious, and I am a little bit of a rebellion, but if it's not working at the top, then, you know, we've got to make it work for ourselves. And that's the microcosm, is like bring it down to what can work for us in our local communities. And I think working in the gray areas, making the best of a situation for yourself, creating something new, looking at the local, how can I circumvent the rules and regulations and still live within them in compliance, so that I don't get in trouble. that's the best I can, that's what I'd like to do. I like to ride the uncomfortable edge. Where's the line of limitation so that I can ride right up to it and say, okay, I know if I cross this, I'm in trouble. But if I stay within the lines and I can make a difference, that's what I'm going to do. And I think that's true for all of these cases we talked about.
Absolutely. Well said. Well said. Jacqueline, are you back with us? Did we lose Jackie?
I'm here. I'm sorry. It looks like my brother is here to paint my house, and I didn't know that.
Okay. Well, thank you for the conversation, Jacqueline.
Okay.
So it's okay. Are you staying? You're going? What are we doing?
Can you hear that in the background?
No.
Okay. Right now?
No.
No.
Okay, good. I'll stay.
Okay. Well, thank you. We'd love to have you. Mm-hmm. People have different views on the conversation. It's kind of going around a little bit, which is what I tend to do here on Face to Face. But just listening to the conversation, Jacqueline, what are your thoughts?
You know, I saw something the other day that said that the two system party is outdated. I then, you know, am also in the metaphysical healing realm, and you know, all the downloads that I have, you know, with my political science degree and everything that I have experienced, I really think that love is a big thing that's missing in our world way before America was even, you know, put on paper. What is going on right now from an astrological standpoint is that we are taking 20,000 or more years of karma and replenishing it. And so for me, it's a way bigger picture than just the government that's going on right now. I think that having our own communities and getting back to our families is super important. And I think we're going to see more of that. I think state politics is going to become more important. And then from there, community politics will even become more important.
Mm-hmm. So you said 20,000 years of karma is now being replenished. What are we replenishing it with?
Well, the divine masculine and divine feminine are being rebalanced. There's been a huge masculine flex, and now the feminine is coming back. Mother Earth is here to, you know, let us know that she is here to stay. And we each have divine masculine and divine feminine within us. But it's interesting that the hemp plant is making its way back, because the hemp plant is a female, very much so. And so it's interesting to see that the correlation between the hemp plant and everything that it can do for our environment, as well as its people. You know, when it comes to Republican Party, it's hard for me to say that I want to be a part of the Republican Party, because you know, Ronald Reagan is someone who really did something bad. You know, the laws against cannabis go way before Reagan, but the war on drugs really was imprinted with him, and he was a very strong Republican. He was very racist. And so for me, you know, to want to be a part of this party, to me, to think that that even though the hemp bill was brought to us by Mitch McConnell, there's also in that bill stating that anyone that has a cannabis charge cannot be involved. Therefore, you know, 700,000 people last year are not allowed to be in this industry. Why is it that the government is making money off something that is legal, yet it's still punishing people for it? You know, there's just so many different broken parts of the system that I think we need to do away with all of it. What do we do in replace of it? I don't know. But I know that it's not working. And, you know, I would love to see what type of revolt really comes to be, because anything that is not built on a strong foundation will be sure, you know, we're seeing it each day that continues. It's going to fall and it's going to crumble. And so something new has to be built. But I think that the word love is super important, and it needs to be the focus of whatever is rebuilt.
Yes. So Jacqueline's talking about love. Everyone's quiet. I'm like waiting for the responses. E, you're quiet.
I'm sorry, that was long-winded and really, really, you know, has a lot of different parts to it. But that really is how I feel overall about everything that's going on right now.
Yes. Amaya?
Yes, you know, that's very profound. It sounds, you know, people could go, oh, well, we're talking about love, airy, fairy love. But, you know, the truth is, Spirit has said for a long time, love is the only answer. Love is the only answer, because love has always been the only question for us. And as I was listening to everyone talk about the control issue that we've allowed our governments to take over with us, really. Now we need some structure here. We just can't be running amok. We need structure. We live in a physical world. Without structure, without something just not being okay, we will definitely implode, explode. You know, I was thinking as our ambassador here for the Constitution, I'm not being sarcastic at all, was speaking that our Constitution was actually based on, I think it was Iroquois or the Code, I can never remember which one. I wrote a blog about it and I still can't remember, of Federation, that Thomas Jefferson and several others went to them and lived with them and wrote the basis for our Constitution.
No, that's
not true.
So, and this is why I feel like.
Okay, let me finish my thought then, and then we can discuss, because I want to hear what you have to say about this. Is it true also that there is in the Constitution a clause that says that if it's not working, we can take it down? Is that also there? Because I agree, I think it's going to come down. I think we need another way of living where all community is together. But, jumping from there to from here to there is the long shot. This is the time when we're becoming responsible for how we have treated each other. And that's the bottom line, really. It has to do with the governments. We've given them the say-so, and they have helped in many ways, but I'm a senior citizen. I may not look like it, but I'm 65. So, and I'm on disability. So I'm one of those people that stands there and goes, okay, but I'm not looking towards the government per se. See, we're looking at a time where authority has to be reestablished, I think. So go ahead and answer. I really want to know, because if I'm incorrect, I'm incorrect.
So a lot of the information that they have given about the America or the American system, I'm not going to get into an etymology thing, but a lot of our laws came from Muslims, came from Islamic law. A lot of Moors were over here that they classified indigenous, that they've classified Aboriginal, that they, after 1840s, they classified Negro, Black, and colored, because European or people of descendants of Europeans were the only ones that were able to classify nationality. But that's kind of stemming off to the point. There's no way, shape, or form that I could come here in love and not speak the truth. I think a lot of people put love and think about forgiveness and just leaving the past the way that it is. Well, there's things that have been systemic since the beginning of time. So where was the stars when Constantine and all these guys were laying pledge on a people worldwide that they wanted to conquer under the name of Christianity? So the Constitution, I'm not going to believe Thomas Jefferson, who is a fellow Virginia born like myself, went in the woods with some people that he looked down upon. You know, there was no love in any of this. And that's where we're getting to the point that we are today. It's not on the backs of a government. It's not on the backs of a system. It's people. It's people sitting at home. If you're talking about voting, if we wanted to get to the grassroots and the root word of everything, voting is me giving somebody else power to decide and dictate what I can do in my life. I mean, point blank, that's what it's down to. So if I'm voting for something, that means I'm giving power. I'm giving that choice to someone. And it has to be out of truth. It has to be out of consequence. Because in every book, in every anything that we have on paper, we have rewards and we have consequences. And America is not wanting to pay its consequence. The same way that if we were to do the domestic violence thing, it was here in Washington, where I had a woman who had me jump 4 times. And the only thing I wanted to do was get a restraining order on her. Her answer was a domestic violence protective order. And she got it because of that same law that Miss Jamie was talking about, worked in regress to me. We caught her in violation. Now, if I'm a guy that says some things about that, the first thing I'm gonna get slandered on the news for is I'm against women and I'm against these things like that. But we don't ever talk about the whole issues. How about how many women get rape on a guy and there's no charges? what about those type of things? So when we're talking about love, we have to find the balance of both is truth, consequence, and reward. And we focus so much on the reward or just the forgiveness aspects of it. The Declaration of Independence was brought in by slave owners. They were elite, rich slave owners. And we keep talking about a system being broken. It's not. It's built perfectly to the way that they want it. The only way that we can do is to embrace that thing, love, which is truth, is honesty, is communication, it's forgiveness, it's non-judgment, it's non-biasness, but it's also discipline. It's also work. It's also that intuitiveness to say, hey, we got to push through. Because that's the difference with America and everybody else. Throughout all the cataclysm, throughout all the strife and everything that's happened, we're still the I2 of the world. You don't get to do that by accident. So now it's that time to say, hey, look, we know what they did back in the day. We know what we need to do, and we just need to do it. We don't need to have this pity party or this awareness of saying like, oh, well, we've had it just as hard as you have, or we've had it, that's negating. We need to get it back to the levels of where it's like, this is the truth again. And it is.
I like that. I definitely like that. I like what you had to say, Salim. You went in a lot of different directions, but you brought it back together. I would love to hear Jamie's thoughts on what Salim had to say.
Yeah, that, I mean, I absolutely agree. And it's funny that you say that, Salim, because after a joint news conference we had here in the Houston area, we meaning the DA's office, the Houston Area Women's Center, there was the Harris County Sheriff's Department. And I shared my story and my gratitude to the law enforcement personnel and to the shelter I had to go to. There was a man that came up to me and said something similar to what you said in terms of the imbalance, right? And he shared with me that he was in a relationship where the woman was abusive to him, and he's a large guy, and the lady was, a framed woman. So he said he lived in silence for years. And I shared with him, I said, well, maybe you're the person that's supposed to have the voice, right? I'm the voice. I can't relate to a man, but I'm absolutely in agreement with all of you all. It's the grassroots. It's how we individually choose to live our lives that will ultimately, you know, cause the change. That's the title of my book, is the power of overcoming shame and learning to love yourself again, right? And I'm writing it to all people, because at the point that we all individually heal, because we all have traumas, right? I mean, we just do. At the point that we individually heal and overcome, we can be a source of love. We can be the change that we want to see in the world. So going back to what you were saying, it's all about balance, right? So no, you shouldn't, I mean, a man shouldn't have to experience, no one should experience violence, intimate violence. I don't care if you're a man, I don't care if you're same sex, no one should experience violence. And maybe for me, Salim, maybe I'll empower and encourage you to be the voice for men, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's true.
You are so welcome. I like to just get different views, and we're 40 minutes into the show. I think this is the longest in my life I've ever heard Paul be quiet. I think we're discussing domestic violence. Paul, there's something you want to share. Are you okay? You safe at home, Paul?
No, I'm pretty proud of myself. I'm pretty proud of you. Like I'm looking, I'm like, this is the easiest co-hosting job I ever had. You know what? We haven't had so many guests. This is the most guests we've had, and everybody has a lot to say. So sometimes you do your best job in the world by shutting up and listening. And in this case, a lot of topics being talked about that I don't talk about a lot. So it's, oh, I didn't find it a problem to just sit back and listen. I did make a few notes of things I could touch on across the board. One is, I find it funny personally that everybody is so passionate about this national election. We're so divided over it. Yet I can tell you through Bush, Clinton, Obama, Trump, the 3 feet around Paul Faust's world hasn't changed much. Still in my house, still got my kids. I still eat every day. I'm dressed. Maybe my taxes went up a dribble here or there. The world's still the same. And I find it's interesting that people are so passionate about this national election, but if you ask them who their town supervisor is or who the local council person is, people have no idea. And so I agree very much that get involved on the local side, your community, the rights in your community, the environment in your community, the taxes in your community, all those things matter. And there's a ground up approach. It's not that Trump or Biden or Obama or Clinton is making the world. And I think that local is important, and you can, that is an area you can get involved and affect change, as opposed to just watch it and then complain about the big picture. That's number one. Number two, and we've heard this on a lot of shows. I'm just trying to check off the notes that I made while everyone spoke, is when it comes to domestic abuse, when it comes to police brutality, when it comes to racism, I've said this before, you can't legislate out bad people. We could all agree and pass every rule today. No police officer can have a gun, a baton, no mace. They can't chokehold you. Everything you want to legislate out. If you got a bad guy who's a racist or a bad cop, which I don't believe most are, but if you have a bad person, they're going to find a way to hurt somebody. You can make every legislation against spousal abuse. If someone wants to beat a woman or a child, make any law you want. They're going to do it. I mean, cocaine's illegal and it pours over the border. So I think some of it starts, like, if you're waiting for legislation to fix this country, then you're going to wait a long time. Here's what I can change 100%. I can change Paul Faust. I have learned more. I have educated myself more. I stand up more when I see wrongs. I don't let people talk and say things that, you know, whether it be language or abusive. I think we all need to take personal responsibility, because no one's saving you with legislation, okay? It's pass any law you want. If I want to throw garbage out the window, I'm going to. Okay, so I'm going to dirty the planet. So I think we have to understand that change starts individually in your own home, with your own person, with your own friends, in your own communities. And when you add that up with millions of people, we get lots of change. Not waiting for a different politician or a different party. Oh, they're going to save me. It's not happening. So I made that note. What else did I write? Our system's not perfect. And it's easy to say, let's throw it out, this is broken, but it's very easy. And I don't know, one person here said, I have the answer. I don't have the fix. I know what's broken. I don't have the fix. But as much as we are in a horrible time in this country with our, you know, seems to be dissension, seems to be lack of love, lack of respect, don't ever forget that most of the world, people still see the U.S. as a land of opportunity. Okay. We are still an amazing country with amazing people. Yeah, maybe we're a little bit more divided now. Got it. It's happened before. We will grow and come together. People still want to come here. We have fights over immigration because people want to come over our borders. They want to come to this land. So let's look at fixing and not how bad it is. Those are some of the things. I believe also that we've seen our government lose some power via the technology sector. The tech sector has taken a lot of power away from the government. In fact, the government's saying, wait a minute, we don't control what people see anymore and hear. It's three or four internet companies that dictate what companies succeed, what political party messages we hear. You know, they're gaining a lot of power. So there is a way to take the power out of the hands of the select, maybe not in tax policy, but look, cannabis is illegal federally, but it's legal in 30 something states. Right. The federal government said, we're going to go after people who are in this country illegally. State said, not my town. So your state matters. Your local town matters. I don't like to look at the broken part. I like to figure out what I can do to fix it. And one thing I can do is be here to talk to people I would never normally talk to and try and learn stuff I didn't know. Like some of the issues I've been educated on while being a co-host of the show. So those are some of my notes. I think a lot of it starts with personal responsibility and stop making excuses for every behavior. And they, you know, what could I do? I could educate my kids and my family, and I can't just blame out everything. Well, it's not my fault. I'm angry. This is bad. So I'm this. No, I'm this because I'm this. Like, take my own responsibility. So there, I got all my stuff in 5 minutes.
I feel like we should play the national anthem at this point.
but Sharifa, I find it. What I want people to say
really, really, that was very perfect, Paul. That was really, really good.
Thank you. See, and it's the funny thing for my friends who know me, the big joke is that I never shut up. And I could always talk. And maybe that's something that I'm learning and why I sat quiet for 39 minutes, 40 minutes, because maybe you learn a little bit more when you stop talking and start listening to other people who I might originally look at as be like, wow, that's crazy. Well, I don't understand this medium stuff or love or cannabis. I get, I'm on you. We're good.
Well, you don't understand.
My generation bought you cannabis.
Well, I am so disappointed with you. You don't understand love, but you understand cannabis.
I got cannabis.
But then he understands love once he has the cannabis. Yeah.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's hard for me, but I need to learn that shut up and listen. And and what I think I said in the last show, that a lot of my friends came over to me because they said, Paul, watch your show. It is really interesting. Is when you say something I disagree with, Sir Salim, it's very easy for me to say, oh, okay, you want to go there? Great. Get behind my little grenade wall and go, what about this one? as opposed to saying, why does Sir Salim say that?
Yeah.
Why does he believe that? Why is he passionate about it? Paul, don't respond with your own opinion. How's about back up, listen, maybe learn a little bit, you know? Oh, BS, our system came from Muslim. But I don't forget. You know what? Sir Salim said it. Why does it matter to him? Why is he passionate about it? Listen and then have a conversation with Sir Salim and say, I don't understand this, or I disagree with you. Can you explain more to me? But I think we're all in this position, especially in the social media world, where we have to protect our ego. We have to win or be right. If I can make one rule in the political spectrum that I think would change everything, is no more cameras. Because you guys would be amazed at the politicians that you see screaming at each other, calling each other names, the cameras go off, they're at dinner in D.C.
Yeah,
expensive wine and going, get rid of the cameras. Go in there and do what you're supposed to do and let us know, but stop protecting your ego. You're this, that, and the other. You got to be right. You got to win. It's crap.
That's right.
I don't have a mic.
You don't get to drop the mic. When Paul speaks, Paul speaks. Salim, I would love to hear your thoughts on Paul's soliloquy.
I can give you some I can give you some information to let you know and back up. I'm a scholar. I read. I've been reading for a very, very long time. And it's not of an Islamic base as of today with radicals. I'm talking about the real and the nature of Islam. The same thing that the Aboriginals practice here. When you talk about the Confederacy, they had what they called the Continental Congress from Alaska to Chile. But the thing that I really, and I understand your passion, I love it. The thing I think that a lot of people forget about is what this system was created for and how well they put it together. So even in Sun Tzu's Art of War, it says, know thy enemy. You have to know your enemy. So they put together and they've constructed this. So now what do we do to reconstruct things? You know, because a lot of the times we talk about things from a communal level and we talk about things from a individual level or some type of like local, but this is gonna take a bigger national plan. Politics in the United States is just a small part because they're representatives of the big line corporations. So when I say it's of a slave like mind, I'm not saying it from a skin color or a skin tone racist. Slavery was ruled by corporations. That was a fact. It was a stock market. That was a fact. When the ladies in the 1970s took off their brassieres in protest, it was against the corporations. Because the corporation said you had to look like this. You had to be a size four and you had to do this. Well, now we're getting over sensationalized, over bombarded with all these many things that the corporations are the government. Because it's whatever they're gonna do and whatever they're gonna say, that is the big line of the government. So what do I as an American or equal common person, whether I'm in Liberia, whether I'm in Geneva, Switzerland, or wherever, what can I do? Because we all see this same imperial system. I don't believe in matriarch or patriarch because Aquarius is a patriarch sign and we keep talking about these matriarchal energy. So I don't want to get confused here. I just know that it's a system that needs to be brought up to say, hey, we need to stop excusing things and how do we put it together? Because it's going to take a national plan. Like it's going to take white people to tell other white people hey, killing Black people is not cool anymore. Racism is not cool anymore. You know what I'm saying? Now, is that going to take all the George Dukes and all these guys down who are imposters, who are racist? No. But I can't believe, as a person of color in this country, that a small group of people that have a small little bit of real estate in the southern parts of the United States control all of this and everybody's combating it. I can't believe that. So I think that, you know, what you're saying, I understand is true. And I'm glad that you are stepping back and listening to that, because a lot of people need to. I'm just one of those few guys that learned early by dealing with three generations of women to know the knowledge of tomato is a fruit, but you know it's not in a fruit salad, so to say. I know my stance, I know my arguments. When people talk about abortions, I'm never gonna get pregnant, so that's not my argument. When people talk about skin creams and different things like that, I'm heavy melanated, I'm not gonna deal with that. So I know how to stay out of my arguments, but at the same time, I think that too much freedom, too much emotion has become into this. And we're looking at the government as some mythical being than what it actually is. It is a group of people that has been put into power to make decisions.
Yes.
So either you use the system or you continue on with the system that you have. It just relies now on the person to say, I have to actually stand up and do something. Because in the 60s, before Reagan, before Nixon, before all those guys, 84% of all African Americans voted Republican. But at that time, you had Tulsa, Oklahoma. You had Wilmington, North Carolina, Jackson Ward, Virginia. You had people that were actually getting up and doing something. Blacks were living in segregation, but they knew they had farms. They knew they had to feed people. They had shoe shines. They had automobiles. They had banks. They had things. People were so used to getting up and doing things. Now, people are like, oh, well, I can just write a little post about it. I've done my job. I've voted
yes.
for
yes.
I've done my job. It takes yes. more. So
yes, oh, go Salim. I just cheer like that. Your passion, I just love it. And I love the way you present facts, but we can hear the love in your voice. We can hear it. It just oozes out of you. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we are going to start with you, Emandisa.
Well, I think that we really need to be careful about, like she said, the new agey stuff, and talking about astrology and everything, because you can't talk about astrology and be talking about the return of the divine feminine when the Aquarius is a masculine sign. It's a masculine sign. The masculine energy has been suppressed because that's the what makes you go. That's what makes you act. That's what makes you do. And see, they send all our boys off to war and all of this other stuff. So there needs to be a conversation about the balance and the philosophy about the divine masculine and feminine coming together. And also, we can't talk about voting we can't talk about the two-party system and we talk about changing the voting system. If we have instant runoff voting and if we have proportional voting, then we have 9-10 parties like other countries have. So again, it's about the people showing up and being present and helping others make decisions. We're lazy. You know, like you said, voting means you're giving somebody else the power to make decisions for you. And then you complain about the decisions that they make for you because you don't pay any attention to it. And I just want to put out there that there's a bill that needs a hearing. And it's called HR 1111. It's sitting in Congress. They've been trying to get a Department of Peace. Read that bill. It deals with domestic violence. It deals with all kinds of things. A Department of Peace. They've been trying to get it since the 1800s. And that bill needs to get a hearing.
Yes. Thank you, E. Thank you for joining us today. Jamie, what do you have for us?
Again, thank you, Sharifa. Thank you, Paul. This has been an absolute pleasure. My takeaway would be, if you're watching a show and you find yourself in a domestic violence situation, know that you're not alone. Know that there is the National Domestic Violence Hotline. There is shelters and centers and people that are absolutely committed to helping victims and survivors. You can Google the number. There are a lot of places have like text messages capability. So if you find yourself in the same house as your abuser, you could text, and sometimes they don't even, you know, the abuser won't even know that what you're doing. You can visit my website at www.jamierwright.com to download a free copy of 5 Essential Steps to Healing that goes back to, like Paul and everyone on the panel has said, it's about what we can do individually. How do we choose to show up in the world? So thank you. I hope that everybody has an absolutely awesome day. This has been a pleasure.
I'm glad. Thank you, Jamie. Jacqueline.
Thank you so much for having me. I think there's a lot of more conversations that came out of this, and I hope to come back and have more of those conversations. Thank you so much for opening up, you know, this outlet for others to speak as well as listen. You can use the code roundtable at www.cygnuscbd.com. You get 22% off your Cygnus CBD, organic CBD grown with love here in North Carolina.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you for that discount. Ava, what do you have for us?
I think this conversation is also reflected in our healthcare, which is part of the reason why I do what I do. I got tired of the prescription drug companies deciding what our doctors learn in college, and also the prescription drug companies deciding what we see during commercial time, telling us what to ask our doctors for. Take back control over your bodies, what you do between here and what you do about your body is up to you, not about your doctor. And I think the same is true. The conversation about that could be had in the future, and also education, because it all reflects back to, somebody said we're lazy. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's time to take back control of our own health.
Absolutely. Amaya, what do you have for us?
Okay. You know, I was listening to everyone, and what I was thinking as everyone was tying it up was, I forgot now, went out of my head. Very, very powerful people here, very powerful people. I was born in a neighborhood, Northeast Philadelphia, where it was all community. We took care of each other. You did something and the neighbor yelled at you, and you went to your parents and said, they yelled at you. The first thing you were asked was, what did you do? So, you know, I understand that whole coming together. You know, we're in the most trying and the most powerful times in human history. This is it. I think this is so profound, painful, profound, and necessary. Absolutely necessary. We were born for these times. Remember, I believe in reincarnation. So we were born, we agreed to come and stay and walk through this place. We were the ones we're waiting for to help with this place, really. Yes. And in that, remember your beauty. Yes. Remember that this is about community. Ultimately, we're getting back to community. Thank you, God. All walks of life, all ways of being, us wonderful people, us. And the work that I do is really based in emotion, energy, and perception. Mm-hmm. AmayaCenter.com. And I work with spirit a great deal. I know they want to say something, but we're running out of time. So I'm going to have to just put my hand up behind them and say, no, not today.
Thank you, Amaya. Salim, what do you have for us?
I very, very, very much appreciate the opportunity talking with more people, that's getting this message out here, seeing that there's an agreeance in this, that sometimes we may feel alone, but we wake up and we see and have conversations like this that sees the unity more than the combativeness. I'm here. I mean, Salim Amir Bey at Gmail. Contact me, hit me up. I don't care. Recipes, we can talk about anything. I don't care for sports, boxing. It doesn't matter. As long as we have a conversation and we're starting to share those similarities, as long as we're starting to do the things that we want to do and actually getting up, I'm in support of it. I'm in your corner. Love for all. Shukran, shukran.
Thank you, Salim. I know exactly what Paul is going to say, at least one of the things he's going to say. He's going to be like, connect with me, Salim, so we can talk. I love sports. No, that was what you were going to say?
No, maybe I was going to connect with everybody else. No, I'm going to say, I happen to not be a big spiritual person and all that stuff, but there's something really interesting that you asked me to do the show with you. Because the tagline for my company that I'm the president of is Your voice matters. That's our business tagline. And this is identical to the show. Is it your voice matters? What you think, what you feel matters. So that's what I love doing this is every single person, I have to agree with everybody, see what they see, but your individual voice is it's unique and it matters in the world, which is why I love doing this. And it's all about talk. The world would not be the same without Eva. It would be just slightly different. Or Sir Celine. So it's interesting to me that we found this opportunity where my business tagline goes exactly along with the show, that your voice does matter. So if you have a voice, even if you look at the show and go, I disagree with every guest you've ever had. Come on, let's talk. It's safe. No one's fighting. No one's arguing. And our individual voices can never be stifled. There is no other Paul Faust. There is no other Emandisa. And so, you know, or Amaya. So all of us matter. And that's really what I take from these shows, which is why I wanted to sit back and listen to everybody's voice. Because I love everyone who's come on and have never, I know you like to set me up when we're going to fight and argue. I love everybody who comes on. I love that I get to learn and disagree and think more. So
who did you disagree with most today? No, I'm just kidding. Thank you all. I want to thank you for today's episode of Face to Face Talk Show. I have learned a lot, laughed a lot. I've enjoyed the conversation. Any of you, all of you, if you would like to return next week, please feel free. These are just conversations that carry on week after week after week. So the more you come, the more you'll be ingrained in the show and more you will have a voice. And guess what? Your voice matters. Isn't that right? So all the people who commented today included their thoughts. We appreciate you, but please don't just watch the show. Be a guest on the show. Visit the website at ashsharifa.com and select face-to-face talk show, schedule your appearance, and join the conversation. Until next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern, everyone have a safe and a blessed week. Bye now.
Bless.
Take care.